Jeannie Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Sean Bingham, Director of Risk Management here at McKinney Flavelle. It is Thursday, March 28th, 2024, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast. I'm actually stepping in for Eric, who came down with something. I'm not sure what it is. Glad we don't work in the same room, but he sounded pretty horrible. So I got pulled in at the last minute, happy to do so. But I am joined with our very own Nicole Thomas, Vice President of Information Services. And we are here, or really more, she is here to talk about the Grain Stocks and Prospective Plannings Report. Nicole, how are you?
I am great. I was going to call him, Eric and Kevin Bums, but if anyone listened to the webinar yesterday and heard Eric, you'd understand why the guy needed to die.
I didn't think he was going to make it through, to be honest with you. I thought we were going to have a coughing fit, but he powered through.
He did.
And did a great job. So,
but
that leaves you holding the bag for all of this.
For all of this fun stuff.
I mean, I cursorily, is that a word? Look at this
close
stuff.
Yeah.
But not certainly to the degree you guys do. So, but let's get started. But before we get started, I almost missed this. God, that'd be terrible.
right.
What is going on in April, Nicole? I think we're having our upcoming spring market seminar in Oak Brook, Illinois, my backyard, on April 17th. This one's got a lot of buzz. We're talking about all kinds of, the theme is movers and shakers. And I think we're focusing in on technology and everything going on in the renewable space and how that's impacting commodities, really impacting just about everything. And so that's going to be really, really interesting. Come join us if you can. If you can't, you can join us via video. You can register on our website, McKinney-Flavelle.com. And we'd love to see you. We always love seeing people. So,
of course. You bet. And it's a good topics. This is timely and interesting. And to your point, all the buzz, it's a lot of the buzzwords we're hearing in the industry today. So
almost everything you see in food news right now has something to do with AI technology, renewable. So yeah, it's going to be a good one. And there's an open bar at the end.
That's the most important part. That is what will incentivize people to come.
That's
open
right.
Open bar.
That's what makes it worth coming all the way to Oak Brook. So, and Oak Brook's actually a really cool town. Great shopping.
We're going to have some chocolate bars for you too. That'll bring people in.
We got that kind of budget?
No.
Okay.
That was a joke.
Don't promise anything.
I know, right? Let me backtrack away from that. No, we will not have chocolate.
Mike is holding his hands over his eyes right now.
Yes, he is.
Okay. let's move on to what people want to really talk about. Let's talk about these two reports, and I'm going to let you talk about it. You want to start with corn?
Yeah, you know, Sean, when I thought about corn today, the first thing that came to mind for
you know
me,
how silly that sounds, right?
I know, it does.
But we do. That's what
this is. What we do exactly.
Yes,
we
right.
really
yeah.
do.
Go ahead.
But the first thing I thought about was the movie White Man Can't Jump, because Wesley Snipes, Woody Harrelson, and Woody Harrelson kind of pretends like he can't play basketball, and Wesley Snipes pretends he doesn't know Woody Harrelson, and then they kind of hustle people, unsuspecting folks. Well, when I saw 90 million acres for corn, I'm like, is this a true number? Is this really how farmers feel this year, that they're only going to do 90 million acres? Or is this maybe a little bit of a sandbag here to get a little market rally going? You know, because it was a little shocking, and that was reflected by the market's behavior. Last check, we were up 12 to 14 cents a bushel, depending on the contract month, because frankly, the market was thinking closer to 92. Mm-hmm. So this is down by more than 4.4 million acres versus 23. and a good 2 million acres below analyst estimates. And I'll more on that in a second. Let me chime in on the corn stocks report real quick here too, mm-hmm. Because these two tie together for that sentiment.
That's the one that got my attention.
The example I just used, the corn stocks is what makes you wonder about that too. 13% year over year increase, 8.35 billion bushels as of March 1. And the overwhelming majority of that stored corn is in the hands of producers. Mm-hmm. A little over 5 billion bushels, up 24% year over year, and representing roughly 61% of the domestic inventories. So when you tie those two together, mm-hmm. then it makes sense of, well, I'm like, 90 million acres, really? I don't know. But I'll say this to kind of, you know, turn down the dial of alarm. If you did attend that webinar yesterday, you would have heard me and you would have seen what the balance sheet potential outlook is for 2024-25. And on that balance sheet, I also had a column for 90 million acres with 175 bushel per acre yield. We'll talk that's kind of my conclusion here will be weather. So we'll get to that. Mm-hmm. But say you fell that far and you kept, you know, demand about even with where we are this year, you could still end up with more than a 2 billion bushel ending stocks number for 24-25. So yes, today's report was a little jarring, but depending on what plays out with consumption here, particularly that export category, and, you know, to another degree, the ethanol category, because we're all waiting for status of the SAF tax credit for the ethanol industry, which apparently we got punted a bit. So we should know something by the end of next month now. Mm-hmm. But depending on how those demand categories flow, we could still end up, you know, fairly bearish with, you know, 14%+ stocks to use ratio. So nobody freak out too much just yet. But I do think, at least until we get confirmation of acreage via the acreage report at the end of June, it will provide some upward volatility to the market. And that just gets exacerbated by, you know, any bad news weather-wise out of South America. So yep. keep a close eye on that.
And I would say, you know, a lot of people have been talking about farmers being holding a lot of grain this year and mm-hmm. undersold. And I think that was obviously just showed up in this data. One of the reasons we're probably only up 12, 15, I think at one point, maybe 20 cents is probably selling into that number a little bit too. So it's surprising because it was at the very low end of the range. I think it was the low end
right.
of the range.
Right, it was the low end of the range.
but again, not completely out of the range. So right. Surprising for some folks, but not everybody. So I agree with you. I think it's going to get a lot of attention right now. But as these things evolve, a lot less attention in the future. So
exactly. Concurred.
Yep. You want to move on to corn. What do you want to hit? Sugar, wheat?
Let's do soybeans.
Oh, I forgot soybeans. Yeah, geez.
Let's do their counterpart.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Soybeans fillings are hurt right now.
Well, there was really nothing there, was there?
Well, not really. Yeah. In that case, we came in pretty close to kind of the market's expectation at 86.5 million acres of soybeans for 2024. There was something, you know, the range dropped down to a little below 86, but I think overall this is about what everyone was expecting, a little lower than USDA's Ag Outlook conference number. I mm-hmm. think it was at 87.5, but even when we saw that, we thought probably a little high. So that one didn't shock nearly as much. And, you know, again, looking at ahead at those balance sheets, that should keep us pretty adequately stocked going into 24-25, mm-hmm. Short of any kind of production issues this year. And then stocks there, again, because we had better stock scenario or better stocks outlook for the current marketing year, not surprising there. 9% increase year over year put it at 1.85 billion bushels for March. And in that case, in the case of beans, it's a far more neck and neck between on-farm and off-farm storage. with farmers holding about 933 million bushels, gets you real close to about, you know, maybe a little narrow majority there, 50-51% somewhere in there. But that was up 24% year over year too. So, but I think part of that is, you know, arguably the producer holding on to stocks a little longer, but most of that is just, you know, related to the fact that we had a much better production season and better stocks thus far for 2023-24 than the year prior. So that one wasn't as alarming. We did see a little upward movement in futures prices a bit right after the report's release, probably more so responding to corn mm-hmm. and what was going on there. I haven't seen the close, but
down 3.5 cents.
There you go. So it was like, ah, oh, yep. Oh, okay.
Yep. No
okay.
biggie. Yep.
We're fine. We're fine. No biggie. So that's where we stand on the soy side of things.
Yeah.
Now I get to do my Eric impression. I'm not going to do an Eric impression.
I don't even know how you'd start that. Yeah.
I'd be very calm and steady.
He is.
He is very, very steady. And I appreciate that. But let's talk a little bit about wheat. So starting with the acreage, a little bit of a surprise there too. It was more or less in line though, 47.5 million acres. And that takes total wheat now projected down about 2.1 million acres versus 2023. Another thing noted as surprising was Durham, projected at 2 million acres. That would be 300 acres more than last year and would be a 6-year high mm-hmm. if it was realized. Maybe, you know, kind of that pasta connection makes a little bit more sense than trying to export stuff these days from a wheat standpoint, because Russia's got a lot of that.
Yeah. And they're selling it cheap. Yeah.
And they're selling it very cheaply. So overall, the other one here, winter wheat acres, actually took a little bit of a hit that arguably the trade didn't see coming. They projected those at 34.1 million acres, and that's down 300,000 acres from the January winter wheat seedings report.
Yeah, I think that was the bigger surprise of all of it was the loss in winter wheat. I mean, I think we all knew we were going to lose wheat acres there, but that was a bigger number than people were.
That was a bigger number than expected. Yeah. So now a year-over-year decrease of 2.6 million acres. That's the bad news. Mm-hmm. The good news is the weather's been a lot better.
Yes, it has.
Over the winter here. So anything we're losing in acres, we're probably picking up in yield. And overall, that should be able to outstrip it, the planted area loss, and leave us in a pretty good space.
I agree.
And then as far as stocks are concerned, pretty substantive mm-hmm. at 1.087 billion bushels as of March 1st. And that came in well above the kind of the average trade guess of something closer to 1.044 billion mm-hmm. bushels. And I think the highest estimate was at 1.81 billion. So, I think the 1.081 billion bushels. So,
yeah. Well, China's canceling those grain imports, right? And so we are probably holding on to more stocks than we thought we were going to be. And that may not even be over yet.
And that may not be over. And the same could be said for corn and soybeans and pretty much everything else too, particularly if it's something that Russia has access to or an abundance of. I threw that in there for all my oil users with all the sunflower oil and meal exports now going from Russia to China. But anyway, overall for wheat, that's about where we stand. So again, some things that were, you know, a little surprising, but, you know, I think even before I comment on sugar, I'm going to give my conclusion a little early here since we're kind of wrapping up the grains and oil seeds. Weather is the thing to watch, hands down, between the planting season and how things shape up there. If you've taken a recent look at the drought monitor, it's pretty dry in portions of northeastern Iowa in particular, mm-hmm. exceptionally dry. And you've got a decent amount of drought still showing up in Minnesota, parts of Missouri, Wisconsin, parts of Michigan, parts of the Dakotas. So particularly for corn, maybe to a lesser degree, soybeans, that's something we're going to want to watch as planting progresses. Fortunately, northern portions of the belt will be the last to plant, so we can get some good rain here in the next month, 4 to 6 weeks or so. Maybe we can turn that around a little bit and provide a somewhat better environment to get everything planted. And then two, also, as it kind of speaks to this period between now and the acreage report at the end of June, keeping a close eye on the weather in Brazil and that safrinha crop. Mm-hmm. So we've all throughout the marketing year, we've been seeing declining forecasts from CONAB related to weather. You know, for first season crop, the weather wasn't great. Rains finally came, things even out a bit. Looking at the 14-day forecast, looks like it's going to be above average temps for a good chunk of Brazil. And maybe some below average precipitation.
I can never say that.
Precipitation in the growing of grain. So in the southern regions of Brazil and parts of Paraguay. So watch that, particularly over April and May. Hopefully, we don't get any additional major declines in the forecast for production, but any kind of weather related news, market might respond to it a little more strongly than they would have if we would have got 92 million acres of corn in this report. So again, it isn't about necessarily about impact on U.S. crop yet so much as it is how the market responds to whatever they think the impact might be. So be prepared for that for the next few months, but I'm still leaning towards just, you know, kind of riding it out, remain vigilant, and we'll see, because those balance sheets still look pretty good at this stage.
And they always say in the end, it's all about the forward curve. You got to beat the forward curve because that's the game. And what's happening right now is interesting, and we love talking about it, but how it impacts things going forward is what really matters.
Is the key component there.
Wonder how they say precipitation in, what is that, Portuguese? I speak Portuguese. Brazil?
Yes. Yeah. I have no idea.
And we'll have to look that up later. How about sugar, Nicole?
Kind of ending it all with sugar. You know, not too surprising there either. Sugar beet plantings looking for a decline of less than 1%. So down about 8,400 acres to a total of 1.129 million. And one might think, okay, sugar prices are high. Why would the acreage numbers be going down? And to answer that question, you kind of have to look at what the situation's been for the last couple of planting seasons, with a lot of late plantings and having to sort of overplant in anticipation, just in case there's any issues along the way. So, you know, at least at this stage, that isn't a major concern. So, I mean, and it push come to shove, if the planting progress was delayed, particularly in that Red River Valley region of the country, we wouldn't be surprised for the beet sugar cooperatives in that area to increase their plantings acreage a little bit to make up for that. And in the Red River Valley, the largest area of decline was North Dakota, down about 15,000 acres to 214,000 mm-hmm. total. But this is also the region that added the most in the last 2 years because of those delayed planting. So it all starts to kind of make sense. And same with Minnesota, dropping about 2,000 acres. Probably the largest increases on the flip side of that was Montana and Nebraska, both up 2,300 acres. And Idaho is expected to increase another 2,000 acres, which is, you know, more or less been the trend in recent years as they continue to increase production in that mm-hmm. region. So all in all, you know, not too noteworthy and not along the lines of, I think, really being impactful in you know, ongoing sugar negotiations for 2025 that are going on now. But again, you know, just is the case with, particularly with the beet sugar in the Red River Valley, keep an eye on weather. We'll just kind of see how things play out in the coming weeks.
Yep, absolutely. And I think, you know, on top of all of these is the fact that we're probably going to get an early crop in this year because the weather has been very favorable across the northern region, the Corn Belt up there. I mean, I just, as you know, I'm out just outside of Chicago. We grow a little bit of corn here in Illinois, and I would say farmers are going to get a chance to get out there and get planting probably a week or two earlier than what we've seen here recently. And so that's good news too, all the way around.
Exactly. Yep. And to throw one more thing in there that we don't necessarily think about all the time, but I like to say it's kind of like people. If a person has to struggle a little bit in their life, it makes can make a tougher person. And the same could be said for crops. It being a little dry isn't necessarily the worst thing ever, because it does make for deeper root structures, particularly on that corn. They got to fight a little bit to get that moisture and go get a little deeper down into the subsoil moisture. Then that crop tends to do a little better and be more resilient against dryness later on, as long as it isn't, you know, extreme. So, right. You know, hope floats and optimism prevails.
There's hardly a year that we don't have some challenges with a crop, but, you know, that's
right.
As they like to say, we like to kill it once or twice before we finally get there. But, right now I think overall, we're setting up for, stock builds pretty much across the board, even with a few challenges. So, anyway, yeah, it's put it this way. It's I like where we are now than where we were a year or two ago.
Exactly. Sure. So concurred.
Yep. Well, unless you've got anything else, Nicole, we can wrap this one up.
Awesome.
So thanks, everyone, for listening in. We always appreciate it. And any feedback, gosh, send us some feedback. Send us good feedback. I mean, I guess you could send some hate mail, but we'd prefer probably not. But,
right.
Anyway, we'd love to hear it. And as Mike always likes to say, live with an attitude of gratitude. And until next time, take care, everybody.
See ya.
That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney Favelle's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Favelle.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.